started agriculture to some extent. It's like
the Holocene.
The Holocene. And so simultaneous to the conversation around what the Anthropocene is, or what
this is 90.7 FM WGXC.
Hudson Area Library Tween Advisory Council presents an original escape room, Altered Zone, New York, Monday, October 14th from 11 to 3 at the Hudson Area Library.
Backed by popular demand, come and play as a ragtag team of friends or family in this original escape room. This game is limited to 15 minutes, and the team with the shortest time will win a special prize!
RSVP online at hudsonarealibrary.org or call 518-828-1792. Don't miss all the fun.
Yeah, so come.
It's a song for, by, and about Green County. Blue jean, jelly bean, 16 seam, machine serene, queen bee clean, lean, gleam, butter bean, Halloween, silver screen, time machine, tambourine, aquamarine, computer screen, canteen, between, marine, ravine, black bean, steam, clean, sardine, wolverine, tangerine, figurine, string, bean, dream, dream. Green County music only on WGXC 90.7 FM, ICRA.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jack Sensabaugh of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Here are the teens from Clubhouse Radio talking about whether or not to get a vaccine for COVID-19.
I'm DJ Ricky, and I'm here with
DJ Popcorn,
DJ Sean Money,
and Phoebs. What's up, y'all?
So for our first segment, we're gonna be talking about COVID, right?
Yeah.
What you doing? So first off, I'm gonna just have y'all explain. Europe, like, what's y'all opinions on COVID? Like, how do you feel about it?
I've got some fear that, yeah. Like, it feels like a really dangerous time to me right now about COVID, honestly, because everyone's like, vaccines are coming, the end is near, let's go back to normal, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that's still really dangerous, so it's, that makes me nervous, you know?
Yeah, because, I don't know if you guys know what the Spanish flu was, but it was like this thing, and it was very like, it was kind of like COVID, like it was like quarantining some people and stuff, and they thought that it had ended, right? And everybody went out and started celebrating and had a parade, right? Like a huge parade with like 250,000 people, like a great, like a gigantic parade. And then They got hit with the second wave of the flu.
That's tough. So
before they even like finished, you know, celebrating, hit with it again, and it was worse the second time, of course. So that's like a big concern when it comes to COVID about celebrating too early and then having it, you know, come back even worse with like a vengeance, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got a question for y'all.
Hey, what's up?
What's your prediction? Like, do you think that, like, COVID will, like, I feel like COVID obviously will go away eventually. But, I mean, like, if you had to, like, guess, like, an estimate, like, what year would you say, I'm saying, like, we would have to stop wearing masks and stuff.
Oh, well, I mean, some people still don't be wearing masks. So
I mean, like, me, what would you, like, I mean, like, kind of, like, back to normal type.
Back to normal? I don't think it's going to ever go back.
Or like a normal adjustment to, like, not normal, but, like,
the new normal. Yeah.
Probably around 2024, 2025. That's my
2025. What about you?
I just feel like I don't think we'll hit any type of normal by any time soon. So I like what Lincoln was saying. 2024, probably by the time I graduate, I'll probably be
2024, 2025. Yeah,
I'll probably have by the time you graduate. But I just don't think that they'll want to, like, play around with things too much where we won't have the opportunity to not wear a mask. Like, I'm going to wear one regardless. Yeah. And I know that's how it has to be.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, Fee, what about you?
Yeah, what about you?
That makes sense to me. I think it's like COVID will never go away. It's a virus that lives on our earth now, you know. The thing's been released. It's like the flu, right? Like, you know, it's just we gotten used to how to live with the flu. And I feel like what makes 2024 make sense, right? Because you got a couple years of getting, like, more and more sort of vaccination happening. The thing about vaccines is, like, it's not just about us. It's about the whole earth, right? Like, all the people, because this thing came from other countries, right? At some point, like, we travel internationally. So I think that's a good estimate to think about when we'd actually get to the point where there's, like, enough immunity from vaccination and that, like, it would feel okay to take your mask off. I'm gonna be wearing my mask for a long time.
I'll
wear my mask at y'all's high school graduation.
No, y'all, I'm not gonna hold y'all. I feel like in, like, what, what did you say, like, 2024, like, around that time, we should probably, like, I feel like around that time, we should probably, like, have, like, more high-tech mask.
We'll probably be on, like, the iPhone 36 by then.
Something like that. But, I mean, like, I feel like we should, like,
iPhone 36 comes with its own mask and stuff.
Imagine. Right, like, iPhone, Apple, like, mask.
Right.
Like, probably.
AirPods 14, like.
Like, comes with a bundle of AirPod Pros. You haven't heard those in a while, folks. We're bringing them back, like.
Just imagine a mask that your AirPods can attach to on the, like, the strings.
That'd be valid. But I remember what I was trying to say. Because I forgot what I was trying to say. So I said that. But what I was trying to say is about the COVID vaccine shot, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a shot for, I guess you could say, quote unquote, basically everything, I guess.
Almost everything.
Almost everything. But we don't. And, like, me personally,
there's just certain things.
Yeah, there. Right. Like, me personally, I wouldn't take it.
Yeah, that's beyond our research right now.
People that take it,
from what I've heard, it's safe.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
nah, because a bunch of my teachers are taking it, and right? they came back to school teaching all that.
And I'm like, whoa, and, like, it low-key kind of makes me feel very uncomfortable. Because, like, look, think of it. If it's a vaccine, right? A vaccine has the virus in it to prevent your immunity.
Well, the virus is dead, though.
But I mean, like...
But think about it. We do that, too. We do have our, like, our yearly flu shots every time we have to go back to school.
Yeah, but then you got to think. There are some people that just don't take flu shots. And they're perfectly fine.
They don't get vaccinated.
Yeah, because they got strong immune systems. Flu shots aren't—they're not mandatory. They're not mandatory.
Yeah, right. Okay, like, respectfully, COVID. y'all take your flu shots respectfully.
Yeah.
If y'all don't mind me asking.
Yeah, I have to. I have to.
I mean, I think one of the things to think about is the relative risk, maybe for yourself with taking a vaccine.
So, and on top of that,
there might be somebody who's like, it's really hard for me to take a vaccine. I got other issues going on. I don't want to take that. If, like, 8 other people take it, they're probably still going to be fairly safe out in the world. Not quite as safe as those other people. But, like, hey, you should have the choice. I think you should have the choice to be like, a vaccine's not for me, but, like, that means I know I got to, like, really make myself extra safe different ways.
Not cause,
right? You can't expect everyone necessarily to keep doing the same practices.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I want to hear your point, though, about, like, it's sort of like for everything.
So,
like this need to do a vaccine.
From what I think of, since you got to think, like take in perspective people's like living environments. Like you could live with someone that's like extremely old, has a bad immune system. Like me personally, I don't take the flu virus or I don't take the oh my god, it's on the tip of my tongue. I don't take the flu shot, and because I know how my body reacts. Because like, bro, you gotta think of it. Like, if you have something like a medical thing, and let's say you take the flu shot, right? Think of all the years you've gotten sick, right? And how bad it's been. Even though it's a dead like vaccine or shot, whatever. You still get sick off of it.
So the reason you're getting sick is because...
So that your immune system can get stronger.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, like...
It teaches your immune system how to fight it.
But then, like, you have a double-edged sword, right? If you take it, you get sick, right? For a short amount of time. But on the other hand... But on the other hand, your body gets stronger from it. Now, the reason why I say it's a double-edged sword, right? Is because you get sick, right? And... Think of it. You don't know how bad you're going to... Like, mind you, it could just be, like, a simple cough or sneeze or anything like that. But then there are some people that are, like, have, like, it down bad. Like, the reason why I don't take the flu shot is because I know how my body is, like I was saying earlier. And, like, with me, I have very bad... Like, when I get sick, I barely ever get sick. My immune system, I barely ever get sick, right? So... When I do take the flu shot, I took the flu shot once this year. It was accidental, and I didn't know I wasn't supposed to take it because my mom, he was like, "You want to take the flu shot just so you don't gotta come back?" And I didn't know, so I was like, "Yeah, sure." And the flu shot kicked me, bro, and that junk went hard. Cause I mean, like it was terrible.
Like for me, with the flu shot. I know that when I take it, like, it's something that I have to take personally. Like, my parents make me take it. If I had the choice, I would still take it.
Really?
For the simple fact that my body does react a certain way to it. Like, when I get certain shots like that, like, my arm and stuff will swell up. Like, I won't feel so good for, like, a few hours maybe, but then I'll be fine. But it's not like I'll be greatly affected by it. Like, my immune system, like, learns over time, you know, oh, okay, this is good for me. Like, I can fight this off and then... You know what I'm saying? I'll be good for the rest of the day.
Okay.
But that's really the only downside to the flu shot for me. And other shots in general. My arm just swells up like when I get shots.
Okay.
But no matter which arm it's on, but
so if it's like that with the flu shot.
Bro, when you were saying okay, I'm not gonna lie, I was trying to hold in my laugh because that was hilarious.
What?
Whenever Bubba was saying something, he's like, okay. That was
you're gonna all keep laugh, right? But okay, so if it's like that with the flu shot, what about the COVID vaccine? So you would take the COVID vaccine?
Okay, so with the COVID vaccine, I'm on edge. I wouldn't take it for the simple fact that, like, the things that I've heard about it, everything that I've seen, but when people are saying that I've seen people that I know have taken that are fine, they, like, show that people know, like, that the recently launched vaccines are doing what they're supposed to, you know, which is supposed to fight off the virus or, you know, prevent it in some type of way and reduce the effects of the virus if you've already had it.
Then what's the difference between the COVID vaccine shot and the flu shot?
See, it's...
Because like you said,
in some ways,
you come
it's
out
kind
fine.
Of a similar conversation, yeah.
Yeah,
like it's an appropriate
just,
comparison, I think. Like,
you know, but it's just...
It's a slightly different type of vaccine.
Right.
It's a newer thing.
Yeah,
but like,
it just came out.
Coming
like,
in about
just,
it.
And it's just what I've heard about the vaccine is why I'm so on edge about that, but I'd gladly take the flu shot. But the COVID vaccine is something that I'm kind of on edge about. But I'll have to learn more about it.
How come so many people are scared to take the COVID vaccine, but they're not afraid to take the flu vaccine?
I'm not going to hold you. I don't like taking shots.
Because the flu shot is something that's been around for years now, and we've had time to experiment the flu shot, and people have gone through it already. The COVID vaccine is something that's now been recently launched.
So think about years from now when, like our kids are, like, our grand-grand-great-grandkids, whatever, having this conversation, and like it's gonna be a time where a new shot comes out for them. Talking about, yeah, we've had the COVID vaccine for years now. That's already been tested. Like,
I feel like at a point it may or may not become a normality.
Think so?
And I think the idea, like, you need to get a booster every year, like a flu shot, will be normal too. And the thing that'll do, just like the flu shot, is, and this is the beginning of this conversation, is about the fact that the virus keeps mutating, right, over time.
Yeah, it keeps getting worse.
So the flu shot, the flu virus does the same thing. And what happens every year is a bunch of doctors get together. They look at the research to say which strain of the flu or which 10 strains of the flu seem most common. And then they make the vaccine specifically designed to target those strains. And that's what everybody gets those years. So there might be a strain that's not covered, but it's pretty rare. And that's how they cut down. People do die from the flu every year, right?
Really?
People may still die from COVID every year. Yeah. Oh, yeah, like 100,000 people die from the flu every year, right?
Oh, my God.
So there is
a
point, sadly, where normal is sort of a baseline that people do get sick and die. And I think, you know, the important things for me, I know we're coming to the end of this segment, but a couple things for me that I want people to remember about this vaccine. What it does is it has really positive results, keeping people from ending up who get the virus having to go to the hospital or dying, right?
Yeah.
It helps protect against really extreme responses. What it does not protect against is you being an asymptomatic carrier, right? Mm-hmm. That's why the masks are still super important, even if you're somebody who's been vaccinated. You have to keep wearing your mask because you could still get your loved ones sick who aren't vaccinated, other people
That's
sick.
That's so true.
Yeah,
and it's still the same. It's not like it'll forever protect you from the virus. Like, you're immune. Like, you can
right, and that's the other thing, too. If the virus, the other thing about COVID that I don't think people are talking enough about is about 20 to 30% of people who get COVID have what's called long hauler syndrome.
What's that?
Where they have, it's kind of like low-key, like, weakened immune system and fatigue for months and months and months. Like, fatigue, hard to get out of bed, short of breath, headaches.
God.
And yeah, so this is another thing about this that doesn't get caught in the data because it's not as exciting, I guess, as shocking to people as the death statistics. But for the 500,000 people that have died, many, many more times that have also gotten this kind of long hauler syndrome. So I just want people to know that, like, it does matter. Like, people do get, like, you know, it's not just about only 1% of people go to the hospital.
Yeah.
30% of people, right, might get this other side effect. So the mask wearing is super important. The vaccine will definitely save a lot of our loved ones, and that's awesome, but it's not a silver bullet, right? Like, we still got to take other safety.
Since the pandemic, how have you decided to teach? I know the first semester was a struggle because it was thrown at you, but how have you learned to teach through the pandemic?
The sudden change in modality in the spring of 2020 semester certainly was a big challenge for me and my colleagues. I teach my classes generally through a style of writing on the whiteboard, occasionally showing graphics and figures that complement the lecture material. And also, it's pretty interactive. So I like to kind of ask questions of my students and make sure, you know, take frequent breaks and make sure they're understanding the material as I go. And so suddenly, changing in the middle of the semester to being fully remote certainly posed a pretty big challenge for me. I, among my colleagues, we all had to sort of learn a new technology that we had to get used to. And so I actually got an iPad, which enabled me to use like the whiteboard feature. I learned sort of how to write on figures and stuff that I was showing in class, and learning how to log on twice to Zoom so that I could see the chat features from class, see my students, but also have this whiteboard. And I didn't even realize until about 2 or 3 weeks in that you could actually write on someone else's screen. And one of my students actually started writing. He asked a question and started actually writing on a figure that I had up. So it was definitely a learning experience for myself and for the students. And the students taught me some things. I actually asked them for quite a bit of feedback about, you know, what was working and what wasn't. And I also was learning a little bit on my own the fall semester, and then going into the current semester, it's been a lot smoother because, you know, we had the summer to plan for things, and it's been definitely a little bit feeling a lot more comfortable with the whole online teaching or sort of this hybrid mode.
I heard some other professors had, I think, Blackboard and Zoom teachings from UAlbany. Did you use any of these tools that they had?
Yeah, I didn't really use Blackboard much, except in a course I teach for freshmen. You know, part of it was I was used to a certain way of, you know, disseminating information to the class and trying to learn Blackboard, which I hadn't really ever used before this past fall semester, while also trying to do this hybrid teaching was a bit of a, I didn't want to add too many challenging variables to my plate at once. So I kind of chose to just do Zoom and do the recording, teaching synchronously, but recording the classes and using the Zoom whiteboard feature and interacting with students through the chat, which seems to have worked pretty well from my perspective, at least.
Have you gotten any feedback from students on what works best for them and what works best for you?
As a department in the Department of Atmospheric and Environmental Sciences, we actually sent out a poll to our students at the end of the spring semester. From our perspective, it felt like things were working sort of well at times and maybe not well at others. And we were thinking we were learning. But of course, that's just a one-sided perspective. And it's really best to hear directly from students about that, what works and what doesn't. And from that, we generally found out, you know, that students really seem to vastly prefer synchronous classes. And I can totally understand this, but we found out that students generally had trouble learning the material if it was just, oh, watch this lecture in your own time, not live, so there's no interactivity. And that was definitely an eye-opening experience for some of my colleagues, I think, who were thinking that maybe that asynchronous style was actually beneficial to the students. And obviously, every student's different. There might be some students that it was beneficial for, but we certainly learned from the students. I tried to ask students as much as possible, hey, is this working? Let me know if this isn't working. Give me some feedback here. And so I was trying to be as open to that feedback as possible.
How have you made sure that you're still reaching each and every individual student?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think that that's the biggest challenge for me. And I think one of the biggest challenges for my colleagues. And so what I've found, and maybe this sounds funny at first and I'll try and elaborate, but I've found that my teaching in this kind of hybrid style where I'm in a mode where I'm teaching in person most of the time, but it's recorded and also live on Zoom for students who are not present. But I found that it works well for the students it works well for. And so what I mean by that is there are many of my students in classes that interact. They answer my questions when I ask. They're involved on Zoom. They'll ask questions even by turning on their camera and unmuting themselves, or they're coming to class and enjoying that interaction directly in person. It's been tougher to reach students that are fully remote, aren't quite as involved in the Zoom Q&A. And so I've tried to check in with students as much as I can, but I know I could be doing a better job of that, of really making sure I'm reaching students. So everybody's a little bit different. Some students are really comfortable answering questions in class. Some students are a little bit more hesitant to do that. And neither way is better than the other. But I do want to make sure that I'm reaching those students that I don't hear from as much. And it's easy, I think, as an instructor to focus on the students that are giving you that constant feedback and think, oh, I'm doing a great job, when really you want to make sure that you're reaching everybody in the class. I know I could probably be doing a better job of that, of independently reaching out to students. I've done it on some cases, but it's something that I have to kind of keep reminding myself is don't judge how well you're reaching everybody by how well you're reaching just a few select students.
Would you say that you've been more lenient with COVID, with technical issues, sickness?
Definitely. Yeah. I as long as students reach out to me and tell me I'm having trouble getting this in on time for XYZ reason, or I can't make class for these reasons, or can I take the quiz at a later date? I've been extremely lenient in those regards. In some cases in the past, I might say, oh, you know, if you have like a note from a doctor or whatnot. But I mean, in this case, it's just leniency is the number one rule. I totally think that the most important thing is for students to learn the material, but learn it in a way that's not stressful for them. And so this is a really stressful year. This has been incredibly stressful for everybody. And so by adding a stress of, oh, I need to be taking care of my grandparents who are ill from COVID, or I'm concerned about my family who's no longer working, lost their job and they're on unemployment or whatever the case may be, while also I'm trying to take a study for a quiz or exam and have a deadline. I mean, that's a lot to expect of anybody. And I've really just been like, just let me know. It's hard though, if, you know, sometimes I don't know the circumstances, and it's understandable why students may not feel comfortable sharing those circumstances. But yes, in short, to answer your question, super leniency right now across the board.
I know you said some of your colleagues in the department have also done like asynchronous. Have any of them tried flipped classroom where they teach online and then have an actual lecture with students?
Some of my colleagues have been doing classes where they do two lectures asynchronous on a week. So students can watch the classes at their own leisure, but then they come together to discuss the lectures maybe on a Friday or something at the end of the week. And to be totally honest with you, because we're just not in person much these days, I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to my colleagues about how well that's been working for them. I'm not doing that. I'm doing everything synchronously for all my classes. So students come, whether they come online or come in person, they come during a particular time.
Do you think the students who come in person are still getting the same amount of learning as the students who are fully remote?
I think the students in person, I try and replicate the normal in-person experience as much as possible. Granted, when you're sitting in there wearing a mask or double masked, and the instructor is as well, and everybody's separated and distanced, certainly you're losing something there. You're losing maybe group work possibilities because you can't cluster students together in a group to work on something. I think that overall, though, it's the students that are then taking it fully remotely that are missing the experience the most. If I'm attending a seminar or something remotely, I can't focus after a certain amount of time. It's just because, you know, you're watching a screen and there's so many distractions around you. You get an email that comes in and you're like, oh, let me check that. And then before you know it, the lecture has moved on 5 minutes and you can't catch up. And so I would assume that the students that are attending fully remotely are at a little bit of a learning disadvantage in that way. And I try my best to interact with the students on Zoom as much as I possibly can. I've learned actually this semester that when I have questions for the class, I will direct a question first to this class, and then I will direct a question to the Zoom students. So I make sure to keep the Zoom students alert so they don't just think, oh, someone in the room will answer that. I don't need to focus. And that's helped a little bit for sure.
Is there any advice that you would give to the university on online learning, online teaching?
That's a really good question. Something I haven't thought too much about. I actually think that there's been a lot of advantages. I say that with a grain of salt. There have been some advantages to the past year. And one of the big things is that faculty and students have kind of learned a new paradigm of education. I know going forward that I'm now going to really be thinking about in my classes, well, how can I make these classes as inclusive as possible? Maybe there's a student out there who is raising a family or working full time, and they can't take a class synchronously. And so what can I do to make them able to take the class, learn the material, but at their own time? I think that we've all, faculty, have really been forced to learn the technology to make that possible in the past year. And that seems like a real positive. It's something that we were working towards gradually, and the past year has sort of forced us there a little bit faster.
Hi, Jennifer, how are you doing today?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All the chaos. Okay. It's been so stressful because I was trying to log on and there's no sound on my computer. So I have you on phone and computer. So,
oh, okay.
As long as you can hear me, I'm really glad.
I'm telling you, you're doing way better than I did. I had Jimmy Kimball and I couldn't stop him. And these guys who are supposed to be my friends are just making it worse. So,
okay.
I don't know. Come on. I think we kind of let them off easy on that one.
I had to give the folks who listening in, play by play. They're probably like, what the heck is going on?
No, I made a mistake. All right, my bad. Is Dan coming, Jennifer?
No, he had an emergency and he had to leave early. And so it's just me. So hopefully I can fill both shoes tonight. So.
Yeah, that's more than enough. I mean, we're fine with that. Uh-oh, okay. Clubhouse kids are here. All right, we got another guest coming in, and we're going to get started. I can't believe I made that mistake. Those who know me know this is going to bother me for a whole 2 weeks.
You know something, Vern? Actually, man, the whole trailer was really choppy on my end. I just didn't know if it was my internet or if it was coming across that way.
I think it was across that
way. They want to pour it on now, me.
I think it just happened to be across that way.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. I've been doing this for 8 years, and this is probably only the second time you guys had a chance to get me. So go ahead and give it to me. Go on.
We gotta save a little. Y'all using it up too quickly. I gotta save a little bit.
Okay, so I'm ecstatic to be able to have this conversation again. This will be our part two of mental health and the combination between mental health and virtual learning / remote learning. We wanted to have this conversation because so many people are dealing with this, parents, students, teachers, you know, superintendents. So we had it earlier in February and it went so well that we decided to invite Jennifer and Dan back. Jennifer is here. Dan had an emergency. Shout out to Dan. He's a great guy, and we appreciate him so much. Jennifer, I thank you for actually coming on to sit down with us. So if you could, will you just give the listening audience and the panel who wasn't on the show before this, just give them a rundown of who you are and what you do so that we know who we're talking to.
Sure. So my name is Jennifer Samuels, and I'm the supervisor of the Children and Family Therapy Team here at Columbia County Mental Health. So I see some clients as well as oversee a team of 5 social workers that do mental health counseling for the kids in Columbia County. And that's pretty much what I do. And last time I was here, we had a great discussion about the impact this has been having on kids and parents and families and teachers, everyone. So it was a great discussion. And we also had fun, which I think is the best combination. So I'm happy to be back. Thank you.
So I just wanted to ask you, and then I'm going to turn things over to the guys and let them kind of run with this. I'll be the mediator. But I just wanted to ask you, from your last appearance, can you just share something that you learned that maybe you didn't know? Because we did actually have a couple of students on. We had B on, who was a college student. Anything that might have touched you being a professional, you know, that you didn't know about?
The biggest impact was about the sports. And I was thinking about the sports and how much kids are losing out on having that, just the fun of playing sports and the socialization of the sports. And then just like kids who are trying to get scholarships, like they're losing out on a whole year or now 2 school years of being able to train. And I just really left feeling even more compassion for what kids are going through. And for some reason, it was the element about not getting to play on those teams and the impact that that's having. And I don't know, that was the thing that I was really left with, was like all that's been taken away and what's going to be the impact years down the road for these kids who are now in 11th and 12th grade, and how is this going to impact them moving forward? So I actually haven't stopped thinking about our conversation. I've been thinking about it many, many days since our last talk.
Well, again, I just want to, on behalf of Drive Time, just thank you for coming back. Jay, I'm going to turn it over to you. It's all yours. I introduce your guests, and then we'll go into questioning, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. So, I mean, like last time, I wanted to bring on some more youth, so I invited the Clubhouse to come on, 2 members, if you guys want to introduce yourselves of who you are and then, like, what you do.
Hey.
You guys are breaking up.
Yeah, I think it's a little.
Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that, y'all. Tech difficulties on the Clubhouse side, so I'm sure that's Imani. She'll be trying to get clear audio, but this is Phoebs. Help coordinate programs over at the Clubhouse, and yeah, super grateful that y'all reached out to touch base. I feel like the fact that it was so hard to get some youth on like a 4:30 radio show speaks to how much they're doing and some of the pressure they're under in their lives. There's a lot going on right now with what's left of school sports and homework and end of the year and a lot of kids working. So thanks for bearing with us. And thank you very much for the invite, because it's a super important conversation and one that we've been talking about a lot at the Clubhouse.
Of course, of course. And EdMac, you got your gang there. So if you want to introduce them and talk about them, or have themselves introduce each other.
Yeah, right on. Actually, I'm going to give them the opportunity to introduce themselves. So, guys, you can tell them your name, tell them what grade you were in, tell them your age.
Okay. Hi, my name is Solon Taylor. I'm in eighth grade, and I'm 14.
Hi, I'm Dylan Taylor, and I'm in eighth grade as well, and I'm also 14.
Hi, I'm Akila. I'm in seventh grade, and I'm 12.
All right. Okay. And that's my crew. So we're bringing it from the middle school perspective of what it's been like during this amazing journey that we're collectively on together here.
Welcome. Do you guys have anything you want to talk to her about? To talk about your experiences with mental health and how you feel about virtual learning, how you personally feel about virtual learning.
Who are you asking, Jay?
I'm asking your gang.
So how are you guys feeling about just school right now and the way that it is? Actually, first of all, do me a favor, explain to everybody, what is school like for you guys right now, your cohorts and all the rest of that? How's that go? Who wants to go?
Okay. So what we do is we do a hybrid. So we go in person and virtual. So us three, we go to school on Thursday and Friday, and on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we do virtual.
And how's that going for you? Do you guys enjoy it? Do you like it better?
It's yeah. Like a half and half, like those ups and downs, they sort of balance each other out, I'd say. Because like some of the ups that you get to work on your own schedule, right? And you get to do your own thing on virtual days.
Okay.
But then again, the down is sometimes the work is really repetitive. It's like the same thing.
Mm.
And you just miss your friends as well. You miss school and being in school.
The social aspect.
Well, yeah.
You miss the social aspect of it. You said no.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I don't need humans. I'm good. Like,
what do you think the best part of you being out of school is?
Oh, I don't know. I just like working from home because I get to listen to music at home. That's cool.
What about you guys?
I like how I can make my own schedule and work at my own pace so I don't have to have any pressure on me while I'm working.
Hmm. For me, it's probably being able to go over something as many times as you want, because like asking the teacher, hey, can we go over this like a couple times, you don't really want to do that just because it's kind of nervous just like making the whole class do the same thing. Like some people might understand it, but you don't. So I like how I can go over just to do that if I don't understand something.
That's a good point. I haven't heard that one. That's a good one.
Do you think it's harder or do you think it's easier on you guys being virtual or hybrid slash? What do you think?
At first, when we first moved to virtual, they put a lot of work on us. Yeah. But now our teachers have cut us some slack and we're, well, at least for my classes, not doing as much work as we were when at the beginning of virtual, but still a good chunk of work.
In all fairness, too, these guys are in AIG, which is like the equivalent of AP kind of courses. So their workload is through, you know, they're actually taking high school classes now in junior high. So that's sort of
sad thing. I know you guys play sports. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about not being able to do all of that?
Oh, first, Solon, tell your story of last year. How did that happen?
So, last year, I was trying out for track for the first time because I never did it before, and I got the confidence to try out for a team, which I've never done before, and I make the team, but on the same day they tell me I make the team, they cancel in-person school. It was very sad.
Broke his heart. We're still proud of him, though. We're still proud of him.
So it was you. You were the bad luck that got us. It's all your fault.
That went left. It's like, oh, he's like, my bad. What about you, P? So you had basketball. Were you guys able to finish the season? And
we were able to finish the season, but that was a few weeks before school got canceled. So we were lucky enough to finish the season. but there were soccer and track and field that weren't able to finish or even start this season.
Yeah, tough.
Phoebes, I'm just wondering, how do you feel about being the coordinator of the clubhouse? How do you feel about the effects of virtual learning?
Yeah, it's been I appreciate hearing y'all's perspective because there is a lot of nuance in it. I think there are some youth who I'm seeing like grow in like really powerful ways as they're sort of like, oh, I'm more autonomous, I'm managing my own time. Like I'm seeing some really powerful development. And then at the same time, I know other youth who are like, I have not been able to really engage with or learn. Like they miss learning, you know? And I think that's being appreciated differently is what I've been hearing from some of our kids, that, you know, just the ability to engage with the content and the material itself, even if you can keep up with the homework, which is hard. It's like the sense of, it's not as the lack of group work, that point about it being awkward to ask questions and like have a follow-up conversation. I've heard that a bunch. So I think there's definitely an impact on learning. And I think that's something we've been trying to just work in our own space, you know, keep us in important conversations about the content. You know, I know you're talking about this lens of like, what's the mental health impact? I think that's varied too. I know kids who are like, whoa, this is way better for my mental health, like getting up on my own schedule, not having to stress about being in person, especially because there's been a lot of flexibility with video on and off. I think like youth have been able to manage that. I've heard for some kids that's been way better. And then I know other kids on the totally other end of the spectrum where it feels isolating. It feels hard to get that sort of social, you know, if you're missing extracurricular activities, that can be really hard and just something that people are missing. So I feel like it's a mixed bag, and like I think my punchline is like I'm super blown away by the resilience and the like incredible just like maturity that I've seen in all of our youth about how they're thinking about, like they're coming to me and saying like my headspace isn't right when I'm trying to get up in the morning, so I just set up my whole room differently and I'm not going to be in bed when I do homework, and like the wherewithal of how they're managing their space. Like I think those sorts of skills actually might come in handy down the road. It's not the same as learning chemistry, but there's these more like real life skills that I think I'm noticing people develop from this experience, for better or worse.
Yeah, great. Amani, is your mic working, or are you good now?
Yeah, it's working now.
How do you feel? We have Jennifer here. Do you have any questions for her? She's a mental health specialist. Do you have any questions, anything you want to ask, or how do you feel about your whole experience with school right now?
Well, I feel like school used to be like just regular stressful, but now because of this like corona.
Oh, like we might have lost her.
Think so.
Okay.
Get up, Jake. Let's go. Pick it up. You got it.
All righty. Ed, how do you feel? How you feeling? How you feeling? Part two
is really exciting, man. And first of all, let me just say to Phoebes, if I could just ask you a question real quick, because you seem to have a lot of contact with the kids. Are you finding a common that maybe a lot of the youth are sharing as far as emotionally with all these adjustments that are taking place? Like, is there a theme or a common denominator? I know there's sometimes sides for positive for or negative against, but are you noticing any sort of theme that sort of crosses the board?
Just like the emotional experience of all this. It's, you know, it's, I really do feel like there's such diversity, honestly, in it. But if I were to like talk about the emotions that we want to be attuned to or paying attention to, I think I'm trying to pay attention to kind of like that sense of actually that there is still emotional investment in it. You know, I'm like worried about the kids who I see sort of like tapping out and not really even being in a dialogue about it, not really expressing how they're feeling about it. You know, those are the ones where I'm like, oh, okay, like you're sort of starting to check out about this, and you're probably very likely to be somebody who's maybe not like actually able to follow through, not follow through on classes and homework and keeping up with some of that stuff. And I think for me, one of the things I know has been a real struggle, I'll say, stress, right? Like I don't know if stress is an emotion, but it's a word I hear all the time, that there is a whole nother level of stress of what was already an extraordinarily stressful set of expectations on kids in school. You know, it's not like this is new with COVID. That already existed, but then layer on top of that, the uncertainty, right? So I think the stress of uncertainty, the stress of not knowing when you're gonna go back. I found that when youth kind of got back into a rhythm, whether it was a hybrid model, right, that the stress started to level itself out a little. So uncertainty and stress definitely go hand in hand, I think, in all of this. Just feelings of, I'll stop there, because I know there's other folks who are living it in real time, so maybe they have some thoughts on that too.
No, that's really cool. And to segue that over to you, Ms. Jennifer, when you hear that, I'm sorry, B. When you hear that and you're hearing this common denominator of stress, and we're talking about our young folks, do you have any words of wisdom that you can sort of partake on that? And how often are you seeing that being the case, that when it comes to your office, that our youth are stressed out, you know? And that's very fair.
The first advice I will give is that if you're feeling stressed, say something to somebody. If you don't want to say it to a parent, say it to a school counselor. Say it to a youth counselor that you know. Say it to an aunt or uncle or a friend. Just don't keep it in. What I'm finding is that there are two types of people. There's more than one, but there's a couple ways kids are handling it. I'm seeing impressive maturity about reaching out for help, about taking control of their own mental health. Kids of today are different than my generation. I didn't talk about mental health. Going to a counselor was not cool. If my mother dragged me there, I was not going to say a word. I feel like there's more of an openness to mental health, and there's more of a general idea about mental health among young people. And please correct me if I'm wrong, any of you on here, if you feel differently, but I feel like mental health isn't as stigmatized as it used to be. But then there are these kids that just keep it locked in, you know, they're not going to tell anyone, or they just hold things in. And it's just easier. Like, I can just deal, I can just cope, and they just go through. And those are the kids I worry about, because they're not talking, they're not saying anything, they're just trying to power through. And then it comes out in these other ways, right? You start feeling irritable, you start sleeping in, you start being on a video game all the time. And so if you're feeling stressed and you're not, maybe something I said rang a bell.
Yeah. That was a wave of virtual guilt that you all just witnessed.
I guess what I'm trying to say is reach out to someone. If there's someone you feel comfortable with, tell them, and don't suffer in silence, and that there's all kinds of different help. It doesn't have to come through the mental health center. There's so many different ways and things you can do nowadays. And we're all stressed. But I especially feel that it's difficult for people trying to learn and be in school and trying to grow up and figure out their way in this world, when the world is constantly shifting and changing. The world of 2 years ago is not the same world now. So we're all trying to figure out, like, where do we go from here? And so don't hold that in alone, please. It's too heavy. It's too much.
Things that I look forward to is, like, if I know I'm going to have, like, a fun day in class, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I know what I'm going to do today. So if I walk in expecting something and I know how to do it, you know, if they make the class fun for me in a way that I'm going to want to show up for it, I'm not going to want to fall asleep in that class. And they're just, like, talking, like, oh, Y equals MX plus B, like a bland voice. They're tired. We're all tired. So I'm obviously going to fall asleep because I'm unmotivated. I'm not going to want to do anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, when the class is made fun for me, I know I'm going to thrive.
Right. And it's, like, I'm that student that will really raise their hand every 5 seconds if I don't understand. Like, please, yeah. no, actually, like, explain this to me, because no, you're going too fast.
Are you still doing that even though it's virtual?
No, and that's the issue.
I don't want to, because it feels way worse.
Yeah, like, it. I don't know. It's something about being on the meet that just doesn't sit right.
when you like, I feel like when you look off on a meeting, or like, I've had some embarrassing moments. Like, I've unmuted and stuff like at the wrong time, and I'm like, oh my god. I've definitely, like, I've turned my camera on accident when I was trying to unmute, and I've left the meeting when I was trying to unmute, and so I've had like a bunch of those moments that just like are forever gonna sit with me. So I try to like make the best of my virtual experience. So it gets really weird at times, especially like when somebody's Wi-Fi drops or like the entire call drops. You don't know if it's you or if it was somebody in the class, or like if your teacher's calling on you and you can't hear them, your mic doesn't work. It's a whole bunch of stuff, you know.
Yeah,
A lot of and to issues. Your point, DJ Popcorn, too, about like I need it helps me when my teacher's like got my back and like can help me out with stuff. But like it sounds like at this point it might be like harder for you to have those sorts of relationships because there's that virtual disconnect, and it seems like the onus at this point is more on you as students than it is on the teacher to notice when there's that need and to reach out and ask for it. Whereas when you were in person, I'm sure too the teachers would have a much better understanding of who they need to check in with and like who's struggling with, like, they're also on the other side of this screen that like they probably miss stuff that they wouldn't have missed in the past.
Yeah, like right now in one of my classes, I have a substitute. Like, he's been here for a couple days. And, like, there's, like, such bad communication where it's, like, so they would have it on this camera thing, like, a paper underneath the camera. But, like, only, like, a quarter of the paper would be showing. And then I would, like, ask him. But it would get awkward when I would have to keep on asking him. So at that point, I'm just like, no, I'm over this. I can't do this. Like, literally.
It's especially those moments when the teacher's like, oh, am I presenting? Can you guys see? Can you guys hear? And you have to unmute every 5 seconds to be like, yes, I can hear you. I can see you. And the worst thing about the entire thing is probably camera checks. Because they expect your camera on, like, the minute you come in, they're like, can I get a camera check from everyone? And I know I'm laying down and I don't want to reach over and hit that button.
Like, my hair looks crazy.
Right. Like I just woke up. I have crust in my eyes. I can barely move.
Like, what?
Like, I see my sleep paralysis demon currently. Like, I don't want to get up.
Yeah, like, when I'm on online school, I do not shower until after school. So it's, like, ridiculous. Like, I'm looking real crazy right now.
Yes, I really can't be seen right now, but you can hear my voice or you can see me in the chat.
Yeah, I literally roll out of bed. I don't even roll out of bed. I pull my laptop onto my bed and then open it.
Right.
And that's my morning. Yes.
That's literally what I have to do. The very second I wake up, I'm literally on a class. Yeah,
I don't eat till after school either.
Really?
Because I only have a lunch on one of the days.
Mm-hmm.
So I just be chilling on my phone at my lunchtime.
Yeah, sometimes I don't have enough time to even go. Like, by the time I get up to go and eat, just, like, I'm like, I don't even want to anymore at this point. Or sometimes, like, I don't even get, like, to go and get breakfast or anything. So my stomach will be going, like, I'm like, bro, right now, during living environment, right now. Second and third period right now? Like, must them go do this right now?
Yeah. But, honestly, it's a good, like, online school is a good way to, like, say you were hungry in the middle of class, you could just go and just go make something, bring your laptop to the kitchen.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
But yeah, it's like it gives you more freedom to like meet your own needs, but it also sounds like it's kind of awkward to meet your own needs.
Right.
Yeah, and because y'all aren't in a rhythm anymore with where you were in person, like it sounds like just normal habits about when you wake up, your shower routine, your eating routines, all that stuff's off. And I think like it's routine is a really powerful force in our lives, right? Like it's kind of like our way of reminding our body what mode we should be in. You know, if you got a routine before a game, right, that like helps your body right? And your mind tap into the game mentality, right? Like you do your thing, and every athlete's got their things, their rituals, you know? And mm-hmm. I think school is probably similar, right? But y'all have to kind of completely recreate whatever patterns or routines or rituals you would do to be in that right headspace. And like, that's, it's extra work. You know what I mean? It's worth it if you can find that vibe and it makes you be able to show up better. But I also appreciate like day after day after day, like, you know, it can be hard to create. It's much harder to create new rituals and to keep them up, especially when it's all on you to stay motivated. And like, even if you're doing that, you're still sitting through a really boring class. So you're like, I tried, but like, it's still terrible. Yeah, that's a tough thing. But I don't know. Have you all developed any special like rituals or habits or like practices that help you get in a better headspace?
Yeah, I actually have. So like when I wake up, I have to get up at least five minutes before so that I can get up. But I have to make sure that I slept long enough so I can make sure that I'm up. Like, I'll go and get something to drink so I can, you know, something that's going to, like, keep me up so that I'm, like, mm-hmm. so I know I'm awake, but I know
right.
I have a slight chance of falling asleep, and it's very high that I'm most likely going to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'm feeling tired. I got to get up. I got to move and do something.
Mm-hmm, so like,
I might have to get up and go to the bathroom once. Splash my face with water. I'd be like, come on, I gotta get myself up.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
there you
like,
go.
Like, stay up. You're keep self your head motivated. In the game, you know what I'm saying?
Perfect. So, for me, I, like, right by my bed, I have, like, this whiteboard stuck on the wall. And, like, I just write down all the things that I have to do. Because I'm a very, like, organized type of person. Like, I need to see what I gotta do. So, say I had like this many assignments, like I would write down each of the assignments and like check them off as I go throughout the day, or like,
yeah,
because school is not the only thing that I do. Like, there's like right. a lot of other things that I have to do. So it's like sometimes like I forget, and then that's what kills me.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I write everything down.
Yeah.
If I don't write it down, it's probably not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So It's like that, the visuals for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I respect that. That's good advice for anybody listening, you know, just like little things. The little things count, you know, whether it's just moving your body, splashing water on your face, like, yeah, having your whiteboard, keeping yourself organized. But I think that's exactly what we were talking about like, that's college level stuff, right? Like, when you get to college, it's the same sort of thing where it's like you're given what you need to learn for the year. You got to get to classes on your own. You got to manage your time differently. So I do think y'all are actually developing habits that'll make you more college ready even than some other people that have been coming in. And I was talking to Devin about this during coronavirus. We were talking about how like people might have this perception that they're not going to be as competitive for college because it's like COVID and grades have hurt, or you don't have as many extracurriculars. But I think if you, keep in mind, everyone's in the same boat as you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not special. Everyone's going to have that kind of impact. And there's a hell of an opportunity in this to be able to make the case to, whether it's a future job or college or whatever, that you have all these other skills that you learn because of COVID that I think will, you know, also help you move ahead in your life, you know, and get to where you want to get. And I think prepare you better. So back to the topic, right? Silver linings and positive things from COVID. I do think that is one of them. And I'm sorry y'all have to kind of like go through all that sooner than maybe you were planning, you know? Like I you are losing something in that, I recognize, but I hope you're also gaining something from it.
Yeah, so we can get into some of the cons for a few. So I feel like my first con is probably my biggest con too, is my horrible, atrocious, down bad sleep schedule.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
And I have to describe it like that because that's really what it is.
I don't even have a sleep schedule at this point.
I used to like go to bed at like 10. Now it's whatever it really needs to be. Now sometimes it's like 1, 2, it's been 5 at times.
Yeah. It's so real bad. Like it's what really even horrible. Is sleep at this point?
Like sometimes I try to make myself fall asleep before 12 o'clock so I know, like, if I'm like, okay, I still have time to fall asleep. And then I look and it's like 1 o'clock and I'm like, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even want to fall asleep because I'm not tired. And yeah. So I just have the TV on and like I'll just fall asleep out of nowhere. I'm like, oh my God.
For me, it's like I feel so irresponsible when I stay up. When I stay up late, because I wake myself up like with my alarm and I wake all my siblings up. So it's like, if I don't wake up, how are they gonna wake up? Yeah. And it's just like, it's like that's basically what kind of pushes me like to try to like that's why I set about 50 alarms a day. Like,
and if I don't hear my alarm, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm
toast. Yeah, huh?
It's either or my dad's coming to wake me up because he knows I might be knocked. If I miss my alarm, it's what my dad does. Like, he'll call me. He'll be like,